lifting the name of Jesus higher. Amen. While you remain standing a little bit longer, take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to start our reading in verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter 8. And we're going to read from verse 7. Praise God. I didn't realize when the day that we left the USA, which was Thursday, we missed a day coming back. We lost a day. But it was Thanksgiving, and so we had planned to do something. We didn't fly out till 10:30 that night, so we planned to do something, but everything was closed, just like Christmas Day. And so we were blessed to join some of our friends for dinner in Los Angeles, and they had a beautiful Thanksgiving dinner, and that got me thinking about Thanksgiving. Amen, because it's a very biblical thing. It's a very Christian thing to have gratitude. Amen. Let's read from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 7. I hope you've got your Bibles. I know it's on the screen, but it's a good discipline to have your Bible as well. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of waters, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. It's like Moses is prophesying here. He says, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land of olive oil and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. There's going to be a lot of bread there, a lot of food. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of the hill thou mayest dig brass. There's going to be wealth. There's going to be provision. There's going to be a lot of money in mining. It's all going to be there in that land that Moses is talking about. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given thee. You're going to thank God for the blessings. But then Moses reminds them about something very important. He reminds them, he says, you're going to have wealth and provision. I'm going to bless you. There's going to be an abundance of food and olives and honey. But then in verse 11, he says, beware. Everybody say, beware. Check yourself. Stop. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Beware that you don't forget the Lord, lest when you have eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and you're blessed and you are dwelling in those houses you're built. You see, Moses realizes that sometimes our relationship with God can be better when we're empty. He realizes that sometimes the abundance of blessing that God gives us doesn't always result in thankfulness. Of course, we're initially thankful, but then Moses says, I know you too well. You can easily forget God. And so he says, lest thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and your dwelling therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, that then thy heart be lifted up, that you become prideful and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness. Don't forget God. In all of your blessings, don't forget God. He led you through the terrible wilderness, where there were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, and there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of a rock of flint. Don't forget the God that provided all of these things, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, and to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power and my might, the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. You see, if you're not gratitude, you could get to the point where you begin to think that somehow you did all of this. That all of these blessings and all of this provision and the houses and the abundance, and you forget God, and then you begin to become prideful and you say, you know what? I did this. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. Everybody say gratitude. Everybody say thankfulness. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, if you forget God and you walk with other gods and serve other gods and worship other gods, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. We're talking about Thanksgiving today. And there can be an inclination in us as humans that when we are blessed and when we have an abundance of things, that we can fall away from God, that we can lose our way, that our passion and our hunger for God can diminish. Because Moses knew all too well that sometimes our relationship with God is better when we are empty. And so I want to remind you today with this title, just simply this: forget not. Forget not. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for all you've done in our lives. Lord, let this place be full of thanksgiving today as we have read your word and as we hear your word preached today. Lord, let us be mindful of the tremendous blessings, oh God, small and great in our lives. Lord, for where would we be if it wasn't for you? Lord, help us not to be full of pride and to think that we have somehow done this ourselves, but Lord, that we would have hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord God, to recognize that all we have comes from you. And we'll pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Forget not. Forget not. I probably, after saying that title, I thought, well, I probably could have found a better title, but forget not. We must not forget God. Turn to your neighbor and say, we must not forget God. In all of the blessings and all of the provision, in the health and wealth and all of those things that God has poured out in your life, this is it today, the bottom line. We must not forget God. Now Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and when they came out of Egypt, that was great. They were headed towards the promised land, but they still had many challenges ahead of them before they entered the promised land. They were getting ready to go to another level, and Moses begins to tell them what the promised land is going to be like. He said there's going to be an abundance there, an abundance of food. There's going to be mining wealth. There's everything you need. It's going to be there. You're not going to lack at all. Moses is telling them he's going to be just like what you thought. There's going to be a land flowing with olive oil and honey, all of those things. It's going to be a great place. So Moses is telling them what it's going to be like. And then he flips it and he gives them a warning. He says, beware. Before you go there, before we get to the promised land, Moses says, I've got to settle with the children of God. I've got to settle with you before we get there. We've got to make up our mind that when we get there and when we experience the blessing, that we will not forget the God who blessed us. You know, some of you are praying for some things, and I tell you, God's going to do it. But when you get there, don't forget God. I've been in church long enough to see people come to church when things were really down. And then when God turned things around for them, they forgot God. Until the next time they needed him. Let me tell you, if you're praying for blessings today, if you're praying for God's provision, if you're praying for God to make a way where there is no way, settle in your heart right now. When I get there, I'm going to be thankful. When I get there, I'm going to be grateful. I am not going to forget God. One of the greatest things, I see with migrants that come to Australia, and a lot of people will tell you this, especially where they come from good, strong Christian families and good, strong Christian nations where everybody goes to church and places, of course, some parts of Nigeria and the Philippines and all of that, where there's lots of Christians. They come to Australia for a better life, I guess you could say, and to get a job, and they're making more money and all of these things. But very quickly, And it's happened to some of the people in this church. I get a phone call from mom and dad. Can you tell me? Have they been coming to church? Because they're worried. They know what their kids are like. They know that they've been blessed, but they don't want their children to forget God. And some of us know what that's like today. We've had to make up our mind. Yes, we prayed that we could have provision, and we prayed God's blessing on our life. But when we got there, we found ourselves drifting away from God. Not what we expected. And so, yes, sometimes your parents call me and ask me how often you're in church. Because they know, like Moses knows, the propensity of mankind to, when they get it, they don't appreciate it. I didn't have that in my notes. So Moses wanted them to make up their mind, because he knew that they had a tendency, he knew them well, that they would take God's provision for granted. Sometimes they took it for granted. They even scoffed at it because it didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen. And Moses says to them, he says, you know, you're going to go to a better place. Your best days are before you. But when you get there, you've got to settle in your heart that you're not going to forget the provider. God is going to provide. He's going to open the windows of heaven. He's going to pour out a blessing. But when you get there, don't forget God. You know, some of us today, I want you to think about this. Some of us today are living the lives that we actually prayed for. Yet we've forgotten the Lord. You're living, the days you are living now are the days that you prayed for. That job, which you seem to hate now, you prayed for that, and God blessed you with it, and you acknowledged it. God has blessed me, Pastor. God has blessed me with a great job. But forget not God. Forget not God. Don't forget Him. You know, I heard somebody testify once. They said, you know, I remember the days when I prayed for the things that I have now. I remember the days that I prayed for the things that I have now. And gratitude is such an important thing. I often mention it here in church about having an attitude of gratitude. The Bible speaks so strongly about the importance of thanksgiving and the importance of gratitude. In fact, there are more than 33 commands. Everybody say commands. There are more than 33 commands in the Bible that say give thanks. Give thanks. Of course, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8, we're going to read it in the entirety later on. It says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything. Everybody say everything. You might know a lady named Corrie ten Boom, who was in one of the Nazi prisoner of war camps. And she was in a place called Ravensbrück. And it was known as one of the worst German concentration camps during World War II. When Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy found themselves imprisoned there, they were disgusted to discover that the barracks in which they were forced to live were infested with fleas. When Corrie ten Boom began to complain, Betsy insisted that they give thanks. You know, they've got all these fleas and the infestation in the beds and in the building, in the wood. There's all these fleas, and Corrie's beginning to complain. I can't believe that we have to live in these conditions. But her little sister said, no, we ought to give thanks. And she quoted to Corrie ten Boom that exact scripture. She says, sister, in everything give thanks. In everything, even we ought to thank God for the fleas. Now, that's a hard thing. But they decided that, you know, with some persuasion, Corrie decided and finally joined her sister and said, you know what, this isn't the best situation we find ourselves in. Yes, we're already taken captive, but now we have to deal with the fleas. But we've got to change our mentality, and we're going to thank God in everything, give thanks. We're going to be grateful. Several months later, the two sisters expressed their surprise that the camp guards had never come back to their barracks to disrupt their evening Bible studies. that they held for all the fellow prisoners. The guards wouldn't come back. And it was then that Corrie realized that the very fleas which she had so despised had actually been a God-sent protection from the cruel guards. They didn't want to come in there because they knew the fleas and all of that were in those barracks. But while they're giving thanks, they began to realize that it was those fleas, those things where they didn't seem very nice at the time, but it was those fleas which had actually stopped those guards from coming in to their barracks each night and disrupting the Bible study. Let me tell you, sometimes we go through difficult situations, but I want to tell you, God is in control, and that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Mum used to make cakes, and she'd have all of the ingredients out, you know, the vanilla essence and the flour and the corn flour and all of these, the salt and the sugar and all of these different things she would have out on the table. And as a child, I would go up and taste some of them. And by themselves, Sister Gloria, they tasted yuck, especially corn flour. Have you ever put corn flour in your mouth? I thought it was icing sugar. Yeah, mouth got stuck, you know. By themselves, they don't taste good. But when Mum mixed them all up, they tasted pretty good. And that's the same thing. The situations and the circumstances in our life, by themselves, they may not be good. And I'm not trying to pretend that the fleas were nice at all. It would have not been a very good situation. But all things work together for good. The good things and the bad things, the mediocre things, they all work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. And so whatever you're going through today, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your faith in Jesus, because it's going to work together for your good. I want to tell you today, God is in control. Trust God. In everything, give thanks. But I've noticed one thing, that the blessings of God and the gifts of God are not enough just by themselves to bring joy. I've seen people, Bishop Downs, that have a lot of money and they have a lot of things and a lot of wealth, but they're not happy. I've seen it, and you've seen it. Some of the richest people are the most miserable people. And I've got a saying that I often say to people when I'm out fishing or out hunting or bushwalking or something like that, you know, and all of those things, that's free. That's free fun. And as I'm sitting beside the river or sitting beside the water on a rock eating my Vegemite sandwich, I always say to my friend, I wonder what the rich people are doing. Like I care. I mean, in the simplicity of things, God is good. God is good, and I'm so grateful. But you know, people can be blessed with so much, but it doesn't bring joy. And Moses realized, he said, you know what, we're going to be blessed. We're going to the promised land. But don't get to thinking that when we get there, that just because you've got all this stuff that you're going to have joy. You got to make plans. You got to settle in your heart that when you get it, that you're going to be grateful. Because it is in the gratitude that comes the joy. You see, Moses warns the children of Israel. He says, God's blessings can only bring you joy when it is accompanied with gratitude. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11, he says, beware that you don't forget the Lord thy God. Don't allow yourself to become ungrateful, because all of those blessings, they're not going to bring joy. But if you can be grateful, they will bring joy. And so you can have blessing upon blessings. But if you don't know how to turn those blessings into gratitude, if you don't know how to turn those blessings into praise, you know what? It will happen just like Moses said. It will turn to pride in your heart. It will turn to pride in your heart. Moses said, and you will say in your heart, my power and might have gotten me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power. You got to remember He's the one that gave you power in the first place. And so here's an important principle today. Write it down. You don't need more blessings or provision from God. If you aren't grateful, it's not going to bring you any joy. Start being grateful for what you have now. it will bring you joy. You see, blessings mixed with gratitude is what brings true joy. And Moses says, you know what? We're going to get there and we're going to be blessed. But unless you're grateful, it's not going to bring any joy. And I tell you today, if God gives it to you, but you don't know what to do with it, it won't make you happy. A lot of people think, if I can just get this, if I can just get that, if I can just get my balance to this part, if I can just get this investment and that investment. No, if God gives it to you, but you don't know what to do with it, then it's not going to make you happy. It's not going to bring you joy. And I've met many people who have everything anybody could ever want, yet they are the most miserable people. But on the other hand, I've also met plenty of people who have absolutely nothing, but they have joy. I stood on the streets of Calcutta one day in the city area down there, and as I was watching the families who were living on the sidewalk and in the median strip on the road, I could hear the children laughing and playing, and they just had simple toys. And a lot of other countries around the world have this same toy, and maybe you even had them, some of you, when you were young. But they have a little circle like this, a little tire or a little ring, and they have a little piece of bamboo, and they push it along. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Philippines, India, everywhere I see it, wherever I travel around the world, East Timor, this thing, just a little circle and a bit of bamboo, and they chase it around like this, and they're laughing and playing. And I thought to myself, I haven't heard so much laughter and joy in Australia for a long time. It's not the abundance of things that brings you joy, it's gratitude. And let me tell you, those kids were happy just to have a meal that day. They were just happy to have their friends there. They were grateful. I've met plenty of people that have nothing, but they have more joy than a lot of people that have everything. The key is gratefulness. The key is thanksgiving. And one of the most convicting, challenging things that ever happened to me, I was in a village, I think it was in Indonesia somewhere. We're in a tiny little house, dirt floor, and we were singing praise to God, and I was going to bring a word there. And as I'm sitting there in this place, the community that we were in, they really, compared to us, they didn't have very much at all. But as they sang that song, and I felt so convicted in my heart. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And I'm standing there and thinking, wow, I've got a lot to learn about gratitude, about counting my blessings. And so my encouragement to you today is, be proactive about your gratitude. Be proactive about thanksgiving in your life. Go home, walk, when you get to your car, thank God for the car. When you look at the fuel tank and there's fuel in there, that's a bonus. Thank God for that as well. When you walk home and you walk into your house, and thank God for your house. When you walk to the fridge and there's food in the fridge, thank God for the food. When you go and relax on your lounge, thank God for the lounge that you've got to sit on, because you are blessed. Be grateful and it will bring you joy. Forget not God. Brothers and sisters, if you want to have joy, you've got to have gratefulness. We've got to teach our children this as well, because gratitude is not a natural thing. And Moses had to teach them that. He said, before you get blessed, I'm going to have to teach you about gratitude. And we've got to teach our kids about gratitude, because it's not something that just happened natural. And if you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about. When you have to constantly remind them to be thankful and to say thank you and to teach them. They don't instinctively appreciate us parents, to be honest. You know, when, you know, we're going to bed and we're putting the kids in bed at night, and, you know, they never just say, well, you know, Daddy, I was thinking, I just want to thank you for providing this bed for me. And, you know, Dad, this room that you've provided for me is amazing. When I think of all the toys that I've got spread out all over this floor, Mom and Dad, I'm just so grateful. It doesn't come naturally, does it? If your kids are like that, praise God. I'll get them to spend time with my kids. Or when they're eating their food and you've dished up a beautiful big meal, mum's been working in the kitchen and the kids sit there and they say, before we eat, mum and dad, you know, their little six-year-old, I just want to say thank you for the time that you spent in the kitchen today. Mum, I saw you there 2 hours slaving in the kitchen. And you know, mum, there's kids around the world that don't have any food. Our kids don't tell us that. We tell our kids that, don't they? I tried to tell Lachlan that. You know, Lachlan, there's children in the world that don't have any food. He says, okay, dad, give it to them then. He's smarter than me. You know, mum, I don't like these Brussels sprouts, but I recognize that they are a blessing. In everything, give thanks, mum. So I'm blessed just to have food. You see, it's not something that comes naturally, is it? We've got to learn it, and you've got to be proactive about it. And that's why in such a simple message as your pastor today, I want you to have the joy of the Lord in your life. I want you to have joy in your life, and God is going to bless you. But those things will not bring joy unless they're accompanied with gratitude. Forget not the Lord thy God. Don't allow those things to cause you to become prideful. You see, gratitude is the key to having a joyful life. Now, I want to step it up another level now. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. Because ingratitude is one of the symptoms of a society on the brink. In fact, a lack of gratitude is one of the signs of the end times. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 and 2 says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Okay, perilous. I'm all ears. I want to hear what these perilous times will be like. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're going to be full of selfishness. They're going to love their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. I mean, I never thought gratitude was such an important thing. I never thought that being thankful was such an important thing. You see, unthankfulness travels with some pretty bad company if you look at that scripture. Unthankfulness travels with blaspheming, pride, covetous, boasters, lovers of themselves. You see, thankfulness is so important. You see, Satan got Eve to focus on the one thing that she didn't have and caused her to lose her sight on all the things that God had provided. That's what Satan is trying to do today. He's still the same old trick to cause you to have a dissatisfaction, to not be happy and content. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Had a young couple once, Melanie and I were talking to them before they got married, and they were stressed out about how they're going to buy a house. They were so stressed out. And yeah, it's difficult for young people these days. And I felt the Lord speak to me, and I read that scripture. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, sometimes we stress ourselves out trying to get the biggest and the greatest and to get more and more and more. But you know what? It's a lot easier to just learn to be content with what we've got. It's easier to be content than to try and pursue the next thing and give ourselves a heart attack or stress ourselves out trying to get and to try to keep up with the Joneses. And that's what the devil did to Eve. And Eve had everything except the one tree. And the devil came to her and got her to focus on the one thing that she couldn't have. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be proactive in giving thanks. Yes, when somebody does something for you, say thank you. But walk through your life being thankful to God for all that He has done. When you get up in the morning, we should give thanks. Thanks, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you, Lord, that I've still got breath in my lungs. And I know sometimes in the morning, especially when I only got back from the USA like 24 hours ago and my body clock is all messed up, I was up in the middle of the night thinking it's morning time, you know. I didn't really feel like getting up and I didn't really feel like giving thanks because I had to get up. But you know, God's been waking me up for years. And I think, well, you know what, He just does that. No, I ought to give Him thanks because I don't want Him to miss one of those days waking me up. got to have an attitude of gratitude. It will bring joy to your life. Don't focus on the things that you don't have. Focus on the things that you have and say, God, I'm so grateful. You see, the classic story is the story of the 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. They were so busy enjoying the fact that they were healed that they forgot about the healer. They were so focused on the blessing that they forgot about the blesser. You see, whenever you love the blessing more than you love the blesser, it's idolatry. That's it. There's always something to give thanks to God for. In the worst situation, even the fleas, there is something to give God thanks for. And we can keep our mind focused on the goodness of God, and we can keep our mind fixed on the provision of God and say, God, it's not me, but it's you. God, you have provided all of these things, and I am thankful. I am thankful. In everything, what does the Bible say? Give thanks. Even the fleas, because all things work together for good. It's a decree from God. We read it. In everything, give thanks. In Psalm 92, it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. In Psalm 100, it says, in verse 4, it says, give thanks to him and bless his name. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and that all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, blessings. Forget not. Psalm 107 verse 1, I sent it out by text today. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. As I get ready to close, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, we've read this many times. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Don't be anxious. Take it to God in prayer. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So thank God while you're praying for it. Let your request be made known unto God. The word, it doesn't say be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. No, it says with thanksgiving. Everyone say with. It's not just a type of prayer. But Paul is saying, pray your prayers with an attitude of thanksgiving. Pray it with an attitude of thanksgiving. When we think about Paul, who wrote a lot of these scriptures that we read about giving thanks, we think, well, Paul, you know, you wrote about thanksgiving and you talked about being thankful. You must have had an easy life. No. Paul is that grateful apostle. Maybe he was just so blessed. He had nothing go wrong in his life. No, let me tell you, most of those times where he wrote about giving thanks, he wrote them from the prison, not the palace. In everything, he writes, give thanks. He says, I've served prison sentences. I've been beaten and whipped more times than I can count. I almost died on many occasions. I've been stoned. I've been shipwrecked. I've been left floating in the ocean. Natural disasters. I got mugged by bandits. I've known exhaustion. I've known pain. I've known hunger, thirst, starvation. I've known what it means to be cold. I know what it's like not to have any clothes. But Paul says, in everything, give thanks. And if Paul can give thanks today, you and I can give thanks. Forget not. Forget not. And some of you are living lives now, which is the answer for prayers you prayed in the past. Be grateful to God. What do we do with the goodness of God? Romans 2 verse 4 says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What do you do with the goodness of God? Well, of course, you be thankful. And one way, when we praise and worship, we sing songs. That praise and that worship is an overflow of gratitude from our hearts. Come into his house with thanksgiving in your hearts. Enter his courts with praise. And so we come in with thanksgiving. We're so thankful for what God has done. And as that thanksgiving grows, it overflows with praise and worship. That's why we're passionate about praise. That's why we lift up our voice and clap our hands and dance. It's an overflow of gratitude to God. And so praise and worship is one way to respond to the goodness of God. You see, somebody who can't praise God, it's a direct result of somebody that has no thanksgiving in their heart. Somebody who can't say thanks. But the goodness of God is not just about praise and worship. For the scripture says, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God is not there. The blessing of God is not there. So you can just continue living the same old life. God has been good to you today. God has blessed you. You're living answered prayers today. You're living in the provision and the abundance of God today. Yes, give Him thanks. But the goodness of God is not an endorsement on your life. And sometimes God blesses, even when we're not doing the right thing. Even when we have failed Him, and we can all say, amen. I don't deserve it. But God's blessing and God's provision is not a license to just keep doing what you're doing. The goodness of God is not an endorsement on your lifestyle. You can't say, God's blessing me. He must be okay with my attitude, or He must be okay with my lifestyle. No, the Bible says, will you despise the riches of His goodness and the forbearance and His long-suffering? Will you take it for granted? Don't you know that God pours out His goodness on you so that you will turn to Him? Where are you today? Maybe you've wandered. I know you're in church and you're a Christian. You love God. But maybe you've wandered today. Maybe you find yourself off course. Maybe you find yourself, your heart backslidden from God. Yeah, you're in the house, but the passion isn't there. The love for God isn't there like it used to be. And as you've sat here and you've reflected on the goodness of God, let me tell you, the goodness of God is there to bring you back to Jesus. For you to turn around. Stop living that lifestyle. Stop living the way that you're living. Stop disobeying God's word. Stop going and rebelling against God. He's blessed you so that you would turn back to Him. Don't you know that the goodness of God is there to lead you to repentance? Let's all stand in this house today. Maybe somebody here today needs to repent of their sin. Maybe you need to make it right with God. Maybe you can say, yes, I don't want to be that person that despises the blessing of God. I want the goodness of God in my life, but I want it to lead me back to Jesus. Some of us need to come running back to God. Some of us need, you know, to hear God calling us. Say, He's saying, I blessed you. I provided for you. The reason I did that is I'm calling you home. My child, stop wondering. Come back to the Father's house. Oh, you think, well, you know, I got to get good to get God. No, you get God so you can get good. Seek His face today. Have gratitude. Forget not God. Be thankful today. And let the goodness of God result in a change in your heart. And that's what repentance is. It's an inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. Let the goodness of God refresh your walk with Him today. Can we lift our hands all across this place right now? I know God is speaking. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we want to say thank You. In everything, Lord God, we give You thanks. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, for Your provision in our lives, for Your blessing. Oh God, thank You for the little things. Oh God, thank You for the big things, Lord God. Lord, even the difficult situations, oh God, we stand on Your word knowing that all things work together for good. Oh God, we're going to give You thanks. Even in the prison house, we're going to give You thanks. Oh God, we've known hardship, oh God, but we're going to give You thanks. Oh God, we know that is the key to having joy. Lord God, we don't want more blessings. We just want to give You thanks, Lord Jesus. We give You thanks for what You've done. Hallelujah. If you want to come to this altar and pray, Maybe you want to come to this altar and bow the knee and just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my job. Thank you for your blessing in my life. I just want to say thank you. Oh God, it wasn't me, it was you. Lord, I didn't do anything to deserve your blessing. It was the goodness. Oh, it was your goodness, God. Come to this altar and bow the knee and say, thank you, Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah. Maybe you need to repent today. Maybe you need to get your life back on track today. Let the goodness of God persuade you that living for Jesus is the best life of all. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. Jesus, I want to say thanks to you.